This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. And listen to this.
I know full well the responsibilities that await me as I enter the door of number 10. And I'll strive unceasingly to try to fulfill the trust and confidence that the British people have placed in me and the things in which I believe.
The voice, unmistakable. It defined the 1980s and lingered into this century.
We are more interested in progress than in change. Progress through increased personal responsibility and increased personal endeavor.
Margaret Thatcher, the conservative first woman prime minister of Britain, has died of a stroke after a long period of decline at age 87. She defined the UK, though, and set the stage for the politics of the 21st century. I remember how shocked I was as a young newscaster when she went to war to defend the Falkland Islands halfway around the world. The names, the HMS Sheffield, the battleship Belgrano, all daily headlines. A generation ago, Margaret Thatcher's voice was there in the middle of all of it.
I must tell the House that the Falkland Islands and their dependencies remain British territory. No aggression and no invasion can alter that simple fact. It is a government's objective to see that the islands are freed from occupation and are returned to British administration at the earliest possible moment.
We'll have a remembrance this hour, and we know the very strong opinions of Margaret Thatcher during her lifetime as a politician are matched by your own thoughts about her. Would any of the songs of The Clash have had the power that they do without Margaret Thatcher? Love to hear what you think. The Thatcher legacy in our time, your own remembrances, your own stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us on Facebook. Joining us now is Claire Berlinski, author of the book Thatcher, There Is No Alternative, Why Margaret Thatcher Matters. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what did Margaret Thatcher achieve that no one expected her to be able to do right there at the beginning?
I think it is very hard for people to imagine now how unlikely her achievements were at the time. She played a role in politics that no one imagined a woman could play at the time. And she was visionary in a way that is now difficult to appreciate because so much of what she said is now part of popular understanding. It must be remembered at the time that there was truly a belief that communism would win. And when she came to power, it was not at all clear that the Cold War would end with decisive victory for the West. It was unimaginable that a woman could achieve what she achieved politically in Britain, no less to have stayed at the pinnacle of power for as long as she did, to have accomplished what she did. Now, in retrospect, we see it as something that's it's part of the fabric of our understanding of what women can do, what women in power can do. But at the time, it was not understood at all that women were capable of this, or that Britain was capable of what it achieved under her,
or even that the Tories were capable of it. Describe how much on the defensive and really how much politically they were tiptoeing in the shadow of the labor movement in Britain as she took office and took the Conservatives way beyond where even they imagined they would go.
Yes, it was widely believed in Britain that decline was inevitable and all that could be done was to manage this decline. In the 1970s, Britain was believed to be ungovernable and heading for global irrelevance. And she reversed that. She reversed that through an extraordinary force of personality and a belief that it could be done. And I've never seen another female politician with that kind of ability. Whether it's a freak of nature, or whether we'll be seeing more and more of it, I don't know.
Well, certainly the comparisons to Catherine the Great were happening right around the time of the Falklands War. I remember as a journalist, really shocked that would become a real confrontation, and covered that war, you know, from Washington as a newscaster, and was just astounded at the level to which she took that conflict, really setting the stage for what happened in Iraq and Kuwait.
Well, much more, I think, more significant historically, this point is often missed. It was a hugely important signal to the Soviet Union, who at the time, Soviet leaders didn't think that anyone in the West would really go to war over anything. So I think that in terms of the Cold War, it was even more significant.
Do you think with Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher escalated the Cold War on some level with the intermediate range missile controversy and all of the tensions that were ratcheted up in the 1980s?
Yes. Yes, I do. And that was seen at the time as insane, and it proved to be right. And you ask yourself, or I ask myself, where the vision came from to believe that that could be done, and whether she was really capable of seeing into the future, whether she was insane and lucky. I ask myself that all the time, and there's no way really to settle a debate like that.
Part of the reason we can't resolve that debate is that part of her legacy is making sure we would never know whether she was making a wager or if she was absolutely confidently operating out of vision and belief.
Yeah, that's true. I think that she had very good reasons for saying many of the things she did.
Why do you think, and the story ends politically at least, on a Shakespearean sense of tragedy, why did the conservatives with John Major in the end abandon Margaret Thatcher, someone who really created the environment where they could be successful?
I think that it is very difficult to maintain power in a democracy beyond a certain point, because to do so, you have to make so many enemies. She had caused so many of the men around her to feel embittered or slighted, and it's very difficult to hold on to power for that long without making enemies. And politicians, after a certain point, people get tired of them, whether they're great leaders or not. People get tired of them, as Winston Churchill also discovered. Strategic mistakes at the end. But in the end, I think that it's not possible to stay in power in a democracy much beyond the time she did.
Well, she certainly changed the lyrics of popular music. She caused real pain among some in Britain who spoke about that pain, who sang about that pain. She transformed the sort of pop culture environment in Britain by being the woman everyone focused on as the person who was to blame for all of the pain. Even that's a legacy.
Absolutely. I think the most important, I'm still gathering my thoughts about this because, as I said, I only just heard, but I think that her essential message that there is no alternative remains. We still haven't found anything that works better than what she proposed. That's very important to remember.
And restoring the sense of empire in self-esteem in Britain, if not the empire itself, wouldn't you say?
Whether that's permanent, I don't know. Self-esteem is not quite the word I'd look for. I think she, for a time, and we don't know whether this is permanent, she took Britain off a trajectory in which it was believed that the only way to go was down. And we're still looking to see whether this is permanent. We're still looking to see whether this is something that will endure into the next century.
Claire Belinsky, an American author based in Turkey, author of the biography of Margaret Thatcher, There Is No Alternative, Why Margaret Thatcher Matters. She's dead, we learned today, at age 87. Claire, thanks so much.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.